And we're back. It's season 6, episode 7 of The Grandstand. I'm here with my boy P Money. You're somewhere, dude. You're on a motherfucking boat.
That's right. What's going on? I'm on a ship. We were in Turkey today and we're sailing away for Greece. I feel like, you know, part of the F1 circus, like how quickly they move from one place to the next here.
Except yeah, dude, this episode was ship. This episode was potentially in jeopardy because we weren't sure if you were even going to have Wi-Fi or we just weren't sure where you'd be at, but we made it happen. And what also happened is we had a race on Saturday. A bit of an interesting way to start off the season, the 2024 Formula One season. But yeah, man, before we get to the race, though, I think the biggest news that everybody was waiting for was the Christian Horner. What was going to happen? What was the fate of Christian Horner at Red Bull?
Has daddy been a good boy this year?
Yeah. Ho, ho, ho. And, or shall I say, hose, hose, hose. that's not nice. So basically Red Bull came out a day before the practice was to start and cleared Horner of wrongdoing. And since then, it has been a bit of a nightmare. And it sounds like there's some infighting happening at Red Bull right now about the situation with Horner. Right before we got on to record this episode, Jos Verstappen had some fighting words for Christian and said that basically the situation with Horner could blow up Red Bull right now. And I don't know, man. It's a bit concerning for them.
Jos likes a good great chirp.
Yeah. Oh yeah, Jos likes to stir the pot. It's pretty. He's done it quite a bit, but I don't know, man. It's going to be interesting to see what happens this week. I feel like this situation could escalate very quickly.
Yeah, talking about escalating, the latest rumor coming out of the paddock is that there could be the civil war within Red Bull. So first of all, yeah, Horner was cleared and there was no information given. There was like leaks of WhatsApp conversations, some of them real, some of them fake. A leak was sent to about 150 members of Formula One. It was like journalists, team principals, and a lot of people that are just in it. And clearly someone's trying to discredit Horner. So we don't really know more than that. But it's not going to stop here. And I think a lot of people are wondering why we don't know more. I think everyone's calling for more transparency. And honestly, all that was coming from outside of Red Bull until now. And now we're hearing things from within, which is never good for a team. Even like, no matter how good you are, it's not good for them.
No, I mean, and that's the thing. Nobody really knows what Horner was truly like being, like what the investigation actually was. You know, it's kind of hard to know with the leaks that happen what's real and what's not. But yeah, man, I think we know about as much as some people at Red Bull know, which is kind of fucked up.
Yeah. Talk about transparency. Yeah. And there's a bombshell of a rumor coming out. And some people are already calling it, you know. So obviously Jos likes to stir the pot. He's got a lot of influence and so does the whole Verstappen clan. I'd say people are starting to whisper about a potential move from Red Bull to Mercedes for Max Verstappen. Just putting it out there, just reeling. Don't shoot the messenger.
I don't see that happening.
The season could not get sillier.
especially after Toto, after the race yesterday, said that they're clearly the third best team on the grid right now. So,
yeah, if that. Speaking of which, yeah, we had a season opener. I've seen a lot of, let's say, not so exciting season openers, but this one was a bit of a
snooze. This was tough, man. We need to get into it. Yes, you know, there will be more to come on the Horner thing, but for now, let's roll our intro and get into the first race of the season.
Fauci is James.
Stay out. I am stupid.
Bring back the fucking V12s.
You're too old to have driven here, really. Shame you wasn't fast enough to get to Formula One.
All the time you have to leave the place.
Fuck them all.
More ladies in the paddock. There's too many dudes in the paddock.
That Danny Rick outro seems quite fitting for this episode.
Just a little bit.
A little teaser.
Yeah, just a little teaser of what's to come. Well, listen, I think where do we start? We start with, we've had our first race, and I think everybody is thinking the same thing. And if you're not a Red Bull fan or you're not a Max Verstappen fan, you're wondering if you're going to last the entire season.
Yeah.
watching what happened, what was on display at the
quick reminder. Yeah, a quick reminder, we have the longest season ever, so if it continues like this, which is utter domination, it's gonna be a long season. And I don't know about you, Knowles, but for me it felt like just a bad hangover. It's like you have a great time in the off season and then the race comes and it's just like, oh no, not again.
Yeah, I was really excited for the race. I had, you know, friends texting and saying, let's fucking go. I'm so stoked to see the race. I'm so happy Formula One's back. And then, you know, I'm like, all right, turn one incident. Let's make let's spice things up this year. And Max got away cleanly. There was a little moment where you thought, there could be something that happens, but he ended up going through turn one without incident. And just to pretty much sum up the race, Red Bull finished 1-2. let's just go to the end real quick. Red Bull finished 1-2. Now here's the scariest thing. Red Bull finished 1-2, but Max finished 22 seconds ahead of Checo. And not only that, apparently, according to Will Buxton, Max was so quick at this weekend's race that he could have lapped himself from last year.
Yeah. Will Buxton, love the guy, but some stats facts are useless to say because race, you know, conditions are not the same. You know, that's,
no, I know. I just, yeah, I thought it was, the
it's
point,
always
the
weird.
Point being, yeah. But the point being, like, Max was just, there's a video of it, of Max when he crosses the start-finish line and Checo, and you literally have to wait for it. I mean, it's one of those videos where you're like, holy shit, like, I've got to sit here and wait. It's very long.
The scary part is that it's twice the lead that Max had last year to Checo, which they already had a 1-2. And the stats, man, I know we need to get them out of the way because it's just crazy, but Verstappen is just on a roll now. I'll spare you the long list of stats, but he has now officially led the championship for over 40 consecutive Grand Prix weekends, which is unreal.
Awesome.
All Max fans are like going, hell yeah.
Yeah, like, no, I mean, it's...
Yeah, who else can we talk about?
Well, it's hard to... It's the thing here, too, is that it's just another thing that came up on the post-race show. The Formula One post race show was that drivers are going into the weekend just like very negative about their chances to even win a Grand Prix anymore, which is not a good thing for the sport, frankly. When you've got drivers who are just like, Max is too quick, there's nothing we can do. You know, it kind of kills the competitive spirit of the sport in some ways. And one driver in particular who I am thinking of in this moment is Checo, because it's like they're in the same car and Max is finishing that far ahead of him. It's nuts.
It's crazy. And Checo, you know, last year came in with a lot of optimism. This year, he's not really saying much about his chances. Like, he's not even pretending like he's going to fight for the title this year, which that's kind of scary also, because he's accepted his place and he's just kind of going with it. I wonder what's the end goal there for him? Maybe Mercedes
be replaced. I don't know.
Yeah,
like, throw what him else could into you the ask
Mercedes
for?
Chat. Yeah, maybe throw him into the Mercedes chat. You never know.
Maybe, Maybe. Yeah.
Pull Denny Rick.
Yeah, I mean, he's 1 year younger than Danny Rick. So, you know, not to say that age is important in this situation, because clearly Fernando's showing everyone that doesn't matter. And Lewis to a certain extent. But, you know, there's not much else to say other, you know, as far as Red Bull's concerned. I mean, until other teams are able to demonstrate that they've made some inroads, this season could wind up just being what we saw on Saturday. However, Max did say not a lot of, like, this season there are quite a few circuits that don't fit the car, or so he thinks. I don't know. Like,
is that what Max said?
Yeah, Max said this. He's like, so I think it's going to get closer.
Calling
we'll
bullshit.
See. I mean,
yeah, no, fuck you, man. I don't believe a word you say, man.
Yeah, you're just strangely trying to be humble. Which,
yeah,
yeah, anyway. So, listen, this is it's a little concerning, frankly, for the rest of the season, but I do want to get into some of the other parts of the race. I mean, this was probably one of the most boring. Yeah, it was probably one of the most boring season openers I've ever watched, and you've watched more races than I have. So, and you tend to agree with that.
It was probably the worst I've ever seen.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. There we go. You heard it here. Well, let's get to your team, the prancing horse, dancing horse.
Not much prancing this weekend.
Well, listen. I mean, it was really a tale of two races for Ferrari. You had Charles struggling all over the place. I mean, his radio was nonstop throughout the race.
Yeah, he was locking up. I felt like it was one replay, but it was just different corners, different laps every time. Something was up with his car in the first stint, especially. He just couldn't keep it on track, and you can't fight.
No, and he mentioned that at one point, his front left was 100 degrees hotter than his front right. Or it might have been the inverse of that, but one of his front tires was 100 degrees warmer or hotter than the other one. And he's like, there's not, you know, I didn't know what to do at that point. And I mean, yeah, he just struggled all race. He still put the car in P4, which, you know, I think goes to demonstrate that Ferrari have made a lot of improvements. The fact that he struggled as much as he did, and he was still able to finish ahead of the McLarens and Mercedes. And then Carlos, the smooth operator, he's probably he's the only person who gave us any sort of excitement throughout the race.
Yeah. Elbows out for Carlos.
Maybe some moments from George Russell too, but yeah. Carlos seemed to be a man racing with some spite.
Yeah, I'll tell you what.
A little spite race for taking a hint from Larry David and having a little spite race.
A little spite race to start the season. I'll tell you what, Carlos needs a job next year. Not too worried about him, but he's clearly showing everyone, hey, remember me, because I could still do this. And the Ferraris got a little racy, and it seems like Carlos was not afraid to go wheel to wheel and get real close with Charles. And I don't think there were any team orders, which would have probably helped, because I think that Leclerc was kind of, you know, fighting with one arm behind his back. Like, it was not a fair fight. But yeah, still happy to see Carlos do it. He pulled some good moves on Charles twice, and on George Russell too, to take P2 early on. So yeah, I think that was about the only excitement, because I remember looking up at the lap count and I started getting worried when I looked up and it was like lap 10 already. And I was wondering when this race was going to end.
Yeah, I mean, I think Ferrari should be encouraged by that. I mean, obviously they've got to sort out the issues they have with Charles. But if I was a member of the Tifosi, I would be encouraged by what I saw.
I'm not discouraged.
Don't say you're already a member of the Tifosi because Lewis is going to be on the team next year. I have a feeling that's going to be a theme through this season with you.
I've already accepted the fact that you're jumping ship. You made it clear that, you know, you're turning your back on Merck when they're not winning. That's cool though. I don't know.
I didn't ever said turning my back, but let's, you know.
No, you admitted you're more of a Hamilton fan, so you have to wear red next year. I'll get you your first Ferrari.
Okay. Well, I mean, Yeah, I mean, I support Arsenal, so you know, there's another team that's right. Yeah. But speaking of Merck, Merck and McLaren, it's Merck in particular. I mean, they split each other. So it was George, Lando, Lewis, Oscar, in that order after the Ferraris. And it was an interesting thing because I don't have that much to say. They kind of finished where I expected them to finish this race.
Yeah. If I may ask you, what's going on with Hamilton here? Show promise in free practice and then nowhere in qualifying, and really didn't do much of, you know, didn't really show anything in the race either.
Yeah, it's a weird place for Lewis to be in, and frankly, I was a little disappointed with his approach to the weekend. I felt like, I don't want to say it was a lot of excuses, but a lot of like, well, going back to kind of like what I was mentioning about how, you know, some drivers are just like going into the weekend knowing that they can't compete for race wins. It almost feels like Lewis has accepted that fate as well. And he now knows he's going to another team next year. It's hard to say that because it's only the first race of the season. So if it's like this race one, what does that mean for the rest of the season? That's kind of what concerns me. They had some cooling issues with their cars as well. And I guess the temperature changed really quickly at the track towards the end of the race, to the extent that it was like almost 10 degrees warmer towards the end of the race, 10 degrees Fahrenheit warmer towards the end of the race than it was after. But I don't know, man. I mean, Lando seemed to be very optimistic about McLaren. So I think this is a battle that I want to keep my eyes on for this P3 position, unless one of the teams really makes a leap.
McLaren has a lot of updates coming up. They've called that out early on in testing. And let's see. I don't think McLaren had the same cooling issues as Mercedes did, or not as much. Toto was saying it was up to like 5 or 6 tenths a lap, which sounded like a PR move to tell his sponsors how, you know, how it's not that bad. But yeah, I'm not convinced with Mercedes.
I think he's saving face a little bit with the sponsors.
Yeah, I'll say it. I think it's pretty disappointing, Mercedes. I feel like, yeah. Okay, I'm not calling it right now, but I don't like the direction they're taking. And I think Lewis needs to get his act together, because although he's probably thinking of next year, he still needs to show that he still got it from me.
Oh yeah, no doubt. I mean, it's you know, nothing is given in Formula One, and I think it would be nice to see Lewis show up to the weekend with a little bit more confidence, even if he has to fake it to a certain degree. I'm serious, you know. And another team that kind of fits into this conversation too is Aston Martin, who you know, we saw with Drive to Survive, Lawrence Stroll making some really big claims about what the future looks like for this team. And it still seems like they're kind of just transitioning off the back of last year. You know, they started the season super strong last season and then kind of dropped off midway through. And it looks like they're kind of picking back up where they were last year. Lance got into a little bit of trouble on the first lap and then ended up coming back and recovering, had a great, what I thought was a really good recovery drive to finish in the points. Both Aston Martins finish in the points. But right now, I think we have questions for, I don't have as many questions for McLaren as I do Merck. I have more questions about Aston Martin than I do for both of those teams. Like who are they going to be on a specific, on a given race weekend?
Yeah, they started off so well last year that we were all expecting them at least to be in the fight. And they weren't too far off, but they were clearly on the back foot. So I'm keeping an eye on that. They're clearly the fifth team, right? That's a fact. But let's see. Let's see if they can move back up. They have more wind tunnel testing than all the teams ahead of them. So, yeah, let's keep an eye on it. Fernando also this weekend mentioning that he's not going to race forever, and you know that he's not talking about retirement. He's slowly starting to play that game of hey, I could sign somewhere else, Toto.
Yeah. The infamous Fernando Alonso move. Like, this dude has changed teams more than he's like Dare I say it? He's like the Formula One bicycle, you know? He gets a ride everywhere.
Honestly, yeah. And like a couple of weeks ago, he said he could race till he's 50. And now he's saying, oh, I can't race forever. Yeah, Fernando, I don't buy it.
I don't know.
But yeah.
I don't buy anything he says. We'll see. I mean, he's the kind of dude who says he's going to retire and then he'll probably come back in. But, you know, listen, I think those are as far as the midfield's concerned, which is crazy to think, you know, you've got Merck, McLaren and Ferrari, three of some of the most successful teams in Formula One history in the midfield. But the back of the pack is very interesting as well. And one team that I'm blown away by is Alpine. Like, this team is in fucking trouble.
Do you remember when I told you that I thought Alpine's nose looked like a F2 car? It actually races like at the same speed, it seems. Like, that car's slow.
I mean, I don't know. They seem just defeated. And dude,
P17, P18, nothing to show in the race, really. They're clearly the back of the field. And they're going to have a really tough time this year to get this. Yeah, to turn things around, basically.
Yeah, it's not looking good for them. And I think, you know, listen, it's only the first race of the season. But if Alpine were able to come back and put this car on a podium, I think that you'd be able to say the season was a success. Because right now, to finish P17 and P18 after all of the things that happened last year, the talk of, you know, we're on the come up, this and that, and then to do this is just, it's fucking embarrassing is what it is.
I stand by what I said last year. They fucked up, they fired everyone. It's kind of like almost logical to step back from what I saw last year in terms of how they managed the team. It's if they don't make any moves soon, they're gonna be the laughing stock of F1, and yeah, not a place you want to be. Yeah,
I mean, you don't want to be finishing behind the Haases, because the Haas.
Dear who, Lord, no.
I mean, even K Mag had a great race. It was weird that Nico, that Hulk. I mean, he just always shows great one lap pace during quali, and then just drops off during the race. Guan Yu Zhou had a good race. I thought he could have been candidate for driver of the day, honestly. If you got rid of Max or Carlos. Yeah. So he comes up third in that ranking.
Driver of the midfield.
Williams, I thought, had a pretty irrelevant weekend. I don't have much to say on those guys.
Although Logan Sargeant almost gave us a safety car that could have made the race on a scale of boring, maybe a 3 instead of a 2, but he didn't.
Yeah, and not his fault either. It was a steering wheel issue, apparently.
Right. So. Yeah, Williams had a bit of issues as well with their new steering wheel, with the dashboard not working, some overheating in the car. Not quite there either, I feel.
No, not at all. Another team who's curiously competitive. Like, I think I could see them really, like, entering the points conversation later in the season is V-carb, RB, whatever the fuck. I still don't know. Like, people are calling them multiple
RB,
different things.
RB.
Similar to like Sauber, Kick, Steak. Three different names for one team. But
let's agree to call them Sauber and RB.
All right, fine. RB. I Sauber's good for me. But
by
RB,
the way,
yeah.
Just quick question. I mean, that has nothing to do with the race, but do you still hate that livery, that Sauber livery?
No, actually, I don't as much. I thought I did, and then I got rickrolled by someone on Instagram this weekend who used it as a green screen to replace all the green on the Sauber with Rick Astley's famous video. It was impressive. So I don't hate it as much.
Yeah. I think it looks great. Yeah, it reminds me of like an old school MotoGP livery, which I'm not bad at. And yeah. But let's get back to RB, because that might have been the most exciting part of the race in the end.
Literally in the end of the race. Yuki was told to give his position to Danny Rick. And after the race had ended, Yuki just was playing some weird antics, almost drives into Danny Rick and is bitching and moaning on his radio. Meanwhile, Danny Rick almost said something, but he was like, what the fuck? Like, what the fuck is he doing, Yuki? And he saved it and also gets into the post-race interview with the F1 team. And he's like, listen, I'm going to save it for our, you know, debrief, but let's just call it immaturity, and handled it, I thought, really professionally. But Yuki, yes, man, like just pathetic. Like, dude, you're not even competing for points.
This was for P13. So to explain to everyone, they were on different strategies, alternate strategies, where one driver is going to end up on a softer/faster tire at the end of the race, in this case, Danny Rick. And the teams kind of talk about these situations before the race. And if that situation arises, then you let that faster driver go so you can try to pass Kevin Magnussen. So when the team asked Yuki to move over, he said, are you kidding me right now? And he ended up doing it, but he ended up wasting about 2 laps letting Danny Rick by. In the end, Danny Rick did not pass K-Mag. And what happens in these cases is you give the place back to your teammate because he was ahead of you. But Danny Rick said, we weren't fighting for points. So, it doesn't matter for me. It's P13. What are we doing? But clearly, Yuki, pressure is getting to him. We all know that everyone's fighting for Checo's seat. It's no secret. You know, Danny Rick's back for that reason. Yuki's hanging on from a thread right now in the Red Bull family. And he dive bombed Danny Rick and then reaccelerated and passed him and almost hit him. And I think I couldn't have summarized it in a better word than what you just said, pathetic. Because what if Yuki hits Danny Rick on the way out in a cost cap era? You're losing millions of dollars for a result where there's no points involved. So I think Yuki needs to be very careful, because in my mind, he's already out of the family. Like, he's out of the team next year. Don't forget, Lawson is just waiting to take that seat.
Oh yeah, dude. I mean, Yuki's not driving. Like, listen, Yuki's been he's been driving better than he did in seasons past, and that just comes with experience. But let's put it this way: he's not blowing anyone's mind, and to have behavior like that on track it's just not appropriate. And you know, that's like the nice way to put it, but it's why? Like, just why are you going to do that, dude? And
think about a team boss. If you don't play the team game ever, like, and you're complaining on the radio, no other team boss is going to give Yuki a chance.
Right. No, you're right.
Like, you're whiny, you're immature, and you lose your cool. I'm sorry. And you're not fast enough to be able to do that, in my opinion. So watch out, Yuki. I like you, so I want to see him do better. And I think he owes the team a public apology. That's just my opinion.
You're not going to get that from him.
Yeah, professional fault is what I call that. Yeah, and Danny Rick, props to him, because he could have gone off on him, which a lot of drivers would.
He could. I mean, because Danny Rick's not held back. Like, he's not held back in the past. Like, there was an incident in Hungary where he called Max a sore fucking loser on the radio. You know, he could have gone that route, but he didn't. And I think he also, you know, he's like, you know what? I'm also competing for that seat at Red Bull. So I'm just, there's no need to create more drama than has just been created. But big boo to you, Yuki. Not cool. And especially not with one of the grid's favorite drivers. But listen, I fucking hope Saudi, which was a really exciting race last year, can give us a little bit more drama on track this coming weekend.
Coming up in a few days, free practice already.
Yep. We're back in 4 days. We've got predictions that we need to make. It's a completely different track, much more high speed, which is going to pose different challenges for the drivers than Bahrain did. I also think we could see Max seems to be less confident that he'll be as dominant this weekend, but we'll see. I still think going into this weekend, it's hard to not see the Red Bulls do another 1-2. So I'm just going to go out and say it. Max on pole and Max P1. And I'm saying Checo P2. And P3, I think it's going to go to Charles. I think Charles wants to come back after this weekend and put in a good result. I'm going to say Lewis. I think Lewis has a stronger weekend this weekend. though the McLaren, I think where I could get this really wrong is the McLarens, but I'm going to go Lando P5. And then Gromo. I'm going to go Yuki because he pissed me off. I mean, it's sort of a Gromo, honestly. Like, it's not quite because he didn't bin it, but...
If he had hit him, though, that's 100% a Gromo.
Yeah, 100%. Big time.
Yeah, but no one called that for him. Okay, I have very similar predictions to you, except that I am still on the Ferrari hype train, and I think that Ferrari has a really good qualifying car, and Leclerc had a faster lap in Q2 this past weekend than in Q3, and if he had set that time, he would have gotten pole. He should have gotten pole. Anyway, I didn't get the points. But I'm putting Leclerc on pole for Saudi. But I am going to say Max wins, Checo second, Leclerc third. I also had Hamilton in P4, smooth operator in P5. And I'm giving the grow mode to Russell, just playing the odds here, because I'm already on the back foot here. Because you're leading 20 points to 8. I'm surprised you didn't start off with that flex.
No, I didn't yet, because I need to win a season before I can start, you know, boasting. You know what I mean?
Fair.
So, anyway, Jesus, I hope we have a more exciting race this weekend. Let's keep eyes on the Christian Horner situation, because it could get very spicy. I mean it. Christian Horner might not be team boss by the end of the week. That's a very real possibility. So. We'll see.
Or Max could be.
In the meantime, if you're not already, make sure to follow us on the socials and anywhere podcasts are available at the Grandstand F1. For my boy P Money, it's F Knowles. We will see you after Saudi Arabia.